Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Shaarai. The Ilui Nishmas and the Zeich Nishmas and Mirim Fron, Mirim Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah Hashem. And Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah. So it's Erev Purim, Bekitzar. The Sfarim are not out on purpose because I did prepare a different shiur. I thought sometimes Elisheva asked me before Yom Tov to talk about Inyanei Diyoma. So I thought it would be appropriate to take a short break from the Sefer, just a 1 week break, to talk about some topics related to Purim. Specifically prepared a share on the Megillah. We're going to be looking at one chapter. I'm just going to give you an overview of Perek Dalet and the Megillah, and then we're going to look at sources, particularly a beautiful piece from the Medrash, very, very beautiful, that I photocopied for everybody, so I'll give it out when we get there. So we're in Perek Dalet, and the decree has just gone out, and all the Jews are going to be exterminated, and the king and Haman sit down to have a drink. Excuse me, and the city of Shushan is perplexed, and Mordechai knows everything that happens, and he tears his clothing, puts on sackcloth and ashes, he goes out into the city, and he cries a very good cry. He comes to the gate of the king, who can't go past that, in his sackcloth, and in every province where the word of the king and the edict reaches, there is a great mourning for the Jews, there is fasting, there is crying, there is haspedim. They put out, distribute to the masses sackcloth and ashes, and the maidens come to Esther, and they tell her what happens, and she trembles, great trembling, and the Gemara says and the Medrash says that she miscarries, and she sends clothing to dress Mordechai to take off the sackcloth, and he refuses. And she calls to Hasach, and she tells him to command Mordechai, what is going on? So Hasach goes to Mordechai to the streets of the city before the gates of the king, and Mordechai tells him everything that has happened, and the money that Haman paid to destroy the Jews, and the edict that has gone out to destroy them all, to show Esther and to tell her, to command her, to beg before the king, to plead with him for her nation. So Asaph comes and he tells Esther the words of Mordechai, and Esther says, and she commands Mordechai, all the servants of the king and everyone in all the provinces of the king knows that any man or any woman who should come to the king, to the inner chambers, that has not been called, it is against the law. He will be killed only if the king sticks out his golden scepter, then he shall live. I have not been called for 30 days. So in other words, I can't go. So they tell Mordechai the word of Esther. And Mordechai says, Al tadami v'nafshech li malei b'samech mikol ha'yudim. Do you think you will escape with your life in the palace of the king from all the other Jews? Ki im hachareish tacharishi b'esazos. If you persist in your silence at this time, revach v'hatzala ya'amod ha'yehudi mimakam acher. Salvation and deliverance will stand for the Jews from another place. V'atu ves avich tovedu. You and your father's house will disappear into the mist of history. U'mi yodea im eis kazos higat l'marchus. Perhaps your whole life is for this very moment. And Esther sends back word to Mordechai, go gather all the Jews who are found in Shushan and fast for me. Don't eat and don't drink for 3 days, night and day. Me and my maidens will fast as well. And like this, I will come to the king against the law of Akasher of Vadati. What pathos, what drama, what pain, what fear, what terror of Akasher of Vadati, of Vadati. Mordechai does everything that Esther has commanded. That is the psukim in Perek Dalet. So I will begin with an inside by Rav Soloveitchik. Al tadami b'nafshech li mavei. Sorry. Beis HaMelech Mikol HaYehudim. Do not think that you can escape with your life in the palace of the king from all the other Jews. Or Salvechik says, our fate does not distinguish between aristocrats and common folk, between rich and poor, between a prince garbed in the royal purple and a pauper begging from door to door, between a pietist and an assimilationist. I will repeat. Our fate does not distinguish between the aristocrat and the common folk. Our fate, the fate of the Jewish people, does not distinguish between rich and poor, between a prince who is garbed in royal purple and a pauper who begs from door to door, between a pietist, one who is pious, and an assimilationist. Even though we speak a plethora of languages, even though we are inhabitants of different lands, the story of the Megillah takes place post Churban Bayis Rishon, after we have already experienced and begun to experience the condition of exile. Even though we are inhabitants of different lands, even though we look different, one may be short and dark, the other tall and blonde, even though we live in varying and unequal social and economic conditions. By the way, he said this in 1956 in his masterful piece that became known as Kol Dodido Fake. So this was said over 50 years ago. One, even though we live in varying and unequal social and economic conditions, one may dwell in the magnificent palace like Queen Esther, and others in a miserable hovel. Hovel? Hovel? H-O-V-L?
Hovel.
Hovel. we still share the same fate. If the Jew in the hovel is beaten, then the security of the Jew in the palace is endangered. Do not imagine that you can escape to the king's palace from the fate of all the Jews. Both Queen Esther, garbed in her royal clothing, and Mordechai the Jew, clad in his sackcloth, were caught in the same web of historical circumstances. Chaverim Kol Yisrael, all of Israel, he says, it's beautiful. Chaverim Kol Yisrael, usually we say all of Israel are friends, but chibur is to be connected. All of Israel are knit together. We will all be pursued unto death together, or we will all be redeemed with an eternal salvation. I'm quoting from Megillat Esther Masoret HaRav, commentary of Soloveitchik on the Megillah, but it's a piece that was originally said in his Kol Dodi Dofeik. So Mordechai was telling her, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, or the clothing that you wear, or your status as the queen, you cannot escape the fate of any Jew. It doesn't matter rich or poor. It doesn't matter prince or pauper. It doesn't matter pietist or assimilationist. It doesn't matter what language you speak or how you look. You cannot escape the destiny and the fate of Knesset Yisrael. Both Mordechai in sackcloth and Esther in royalty were caught in the same web of historical circumstances. There is a very powerful medrash, very powerful medrash. And the medrash says when Mordechai tells her, Im hacharesh hacharishi. Unbelievable. This is Medrash Esther Rabbah 8:6. So, Im hacharesh, if you are silent, tacharishi. So, usually we consider it or interpret it as a double lashon, which means like a strong message. If you are very silent. But the Medrash says as follows. This is Medrash Esther Rabbah 8:6. Ki im hacharesh tacharishi, im tishtiki achshav, Shalolala made sonegoria al uma seich, so feich lishtok la asid lavo. Hachareish, tacharishi. If you are silent, meaning now, tacharishi, you will be silent in the
future.
Instead of saying if you persist in your silence, which is a double lashon, Mordechai is really giving her a much deeper message, which is, I will read it now in lashon the Medrash and then translate. Im tishtaki achshav. If you are silent now, if you think you can escape and not tell your nation and they won't come to find you when they come for all the other Jews next year on the 13th of Adar, Shalolula made sane goria al umaseich. It is only you who can be the defender of the Jews. It is only you in your position who can save us now. So feich lishtok la asid lavo. Al mea va'asum shana, you will not have an answer or why you did not rise to the occasion. Im hachareish, if you make yourself like a daf now, tacharishi, you will be a mute in the olam ha'emes. It's such a strong Musar Haskell for all of us. When opportunity presents itself, when we find ourselves in different situations in life, and we have to ask ourselves, what can I do now? Am I too afraid to come to the fore? Am I too timid to speak up when I need to speak up? Am I too afraid for my life, for my reputation, for my own self? You will have nothing to say in the eternal world of truth. Ve'en lach pitchon peh, l'masha ayicholah la'asos tova b'yamayich v'lo asis. You will have no excuses in your mouth, opening of the mouth. You will have nothing to say. L'masha ayicholah la'asos tova b'yamayich. You could have done good in your days. V'lo asis, and you did not. And this is a book of Esther, the scroll of Esther, I should say, goes down. Gemara says that Esther commanded the sages, tichtiveni l'doros, write me down for generations. Not write the story down for generations, tichtiveni, write me down for generations. That means that there are many essential lessons that we learn from Esther Hamalka herself. And this is one of the most powerful, perhaps, lessons. What is my task? What is my tafkid? What is my moment? Where, from when do I need to find the courage to rise up? Because you will not have an answer in the eternal world of truth. You could have done good in your days, and you did not. And Mordechai continued, and he said, Uma at Savura? Are you so certain? Shakosh Baruch Hu Maniach Es Yisrael? Do you think that God will just leave Israel? Will he abandon us? So the first part is Macharish Tacharishi, Rabach Vatalia Moda Yudim Makam Acher. You think God will abandon us? Mikom Makom Ma'amid Lahem Goel. Whether you take the chance or you don't take the chance, God is going to bring for us a redeemer. Hadahu Dichtiv, Rabach Vahatsala Yamoda Yudim Makam Acher. Mordechai was certain, and he said, we will definitely be saved. We had the bitachon, the absolute trust, and the amuna, the absolute faith, that God would save them. He would not abandon them to the plot of Haman. The question is you, Esther. Macharish Tacharishi. You could have done good in your life. And he's really speaking to all of us. And Esther's speaking to all of us. And you chose not to. And what will you answer in the heavenly tribunal? What will I answer? That's a scary question. What will I answer in the heavenly tribunal when they told me, why didn't you do X, Y, and Z and A, B, C when the situation presented themselves? And what will I say? I was too timid. I was too afraid. I was too embarrassed. I lacked the courage. Im hacharish tacharishi. Now, Aaron Lichtenstein says one more source before. Yes.
But in a way, she had someone to tell her. Like, we don't have anybody telling us.
You mean she had Mordechai to tell her?
She had Mordechai to tell her. It made a big difference. Like, that was a big motivator.
Okay, that's true. So she was consulting Das Torah.
Right.
So we can also consult Das Torah. I understand it's easy if you know what to do, but they did live in a time of Hester Panim. The Gemara says that Beferush. So it wasn't so clear, it wasn't so clear to them. It wasn't like by Avram Avinu when Hashem said, this is exactly what you should do. And by the Avos and by Moshe, they too had to, in a sense, figure it out on their own through their Amuna. She had Mordechai. But we can't say that we don't have Das Torah today, because we do. So anything that we... Honey, I just need this here. Yeah. So anything that we... when we have questions... We also have someone to term. So if I ask a reputable, yashar, Torah observant, trustworthy Rav, then I have my guidance. Okay? And that's why it's so important to ask shaylos, to have a Rav. Sometimes people come to me and they say, what's this? I say, I can't pass. Do you have a rabbi? And sometimes people don't. And it's a big chaval. A person, a seyla charav, a person, you're right. We have to have guidance. If you don't have guidance, you very often don't know what to do. Sometimes also there are questions of intuition that's not necessarily guidance, and you just have to daven for the siyata d'shmaya, like Esther did. We're going to go through her tefillah in depth. It's very hard. I agree. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard. Okay, I'm quoting from Avraham Lichtenstein. Now, this is from the Sefer, By His Light, Character and Values on the Service of God. It happens to be Avraham Lichtenstein was a son-in-law of Soloveitchik. He was a Koresh Yeshiva, Vishivat Har Etzion. Very, very beautiful Sefer. So he actually has an essay in here called Chapter 9, If You Remain Silent at This Time, Concern for the Jewish People. Avraham Lichtenstein teaches, Mordechai adds a further note. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from somewhere else. But you and your father's house shall perish. Who knows, perhaps for the sake of this time, you have come to join the royalty. And sometimes your whole life doesn't make sense and you can't understand the pattern or something that's been happening or the trajectory you seem to be on. And then in one instant, in one moment, you realize, oh, my whole life was propelling me to this point. It might be a scary time. It might be a time that requires great courage, like Esther Malka. It might be a time where you feel you don't have what is needed to rise to the occasion. And that nevertheless, Imla Eis Kazos, he got the Machos. So Avraham Lichtenstein says, Mordechai tells Esther, your calculations are mistaken. Not only does your response demonstrate moral debasement. What was her response? Why can't you go? Because everyone knows you can't go to the king when you haven't been called, but this is a time of an emergency. You are mistaken in a practical sense as well. Do you believe everyone will perish and you will remain there in the royal palace just because you have succeeded in entering the king's bedroom? Is that how you think God runs the world? Someone who avoids any responsibility. Someone who does not care, who isn't prepared to risk herself, who sets her personal ambitions over the interests of the nations. Is that a person who you think will survive? Will she be the one to succeed? It's very interesting because when you look at our great imahos, our great women in Tanakh, what you see is that they put their personal needs aside for the good of the better whole. When you look at Miriam Hanavia, for example, she went out of her way to help Knesset Yisrael, along with her mother Yochaveh as the midwives, to save the Jewish babies at great risk to their own life. They did not say, we will stay in our own hut. Shevet Levi was not enslaved. They got themselves into the mess. Pharaoh says, what are you doing? But they said, we're willing to risk our lives to save Knesset Yisrael. Will she be the one to succeed? Will all values just disappear? No, said Mordechai. You and your father's house will perish. But if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from somewhere else. Mordechai the Baal Bitachon, Mordechai at Tzadik, Mordechai, when we meet him in 2:5, it is Ish Yehudi. That is his defining characteristic. Everybody knew he was a Jew. Salvation, he was saying, will come. I don't know how. I don't know from where. We could say the same thing today. The times we live in, it's disturbing. It's frightening. Politically, we are in very uncertain, turbulent times. And a Jew has to follow Mordechai at Tzadik. I don't know how, and I don't know from where, but salvation will come. Those who pay heed to sundry considerations, S-U-N-D-R-Y, yeah? Sundry considerations and circumstances, the doubters and the carers of many types, those who put themselves first, all of these will perish. Perhaps for the sake of such a time, you've come to royalty, now is zero hour. As to this, is the test of your life. This is also the turning point. What he does in this essay is he shows that before this, Esther was very passive. Esther does not tell. In her name, Hester, there is an element of hidden. She herself is timid and passive. She doesn't tell where she is from. She doesn't ask for perfumes, only what Haggai gives her. She doesn't ask for cosmetics, or she has to be taken. Vatilakach Esther, Abes HaMalchus, she is taken to the king. She is passive, timid. We don't see that she plays an active role. Rav Lichtenstein identifies that this conversation with Mordechai, this indirect exchange with Mordechai, is what turns the tables for Esther, and it makes her realize it's time to wake up. You can't go through life asleep. Mordechai directs this terrible accusation. Are you going to persist in your silence? At the doubtful, hesitating, fearful Esther. No one's judging her. Everyone is in such situations where they are doubtful, where they hesitate, where they are fearful. And he pushes her against the wall and he demands that she stops fabricating excuses. Abandon your rationalizations. If you make excuses now, you will have nothing to say in the Olam Emes. You could have done good. Why didn't you? He demands that she look deep into her soul and see what lies behind her hesitation. I'll tell you, Geshmakvar, I shared in my Parsha class yesterday, just one Nakuda from Parsha class. So it relates to this piece. It's so beautiful. It's a verse by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in his Likutei Sichos. Parshas Tetzav is very famous for. What's Parshas Tetzav very famous for?
The Big Day Kahuna.
It does have the Big Day Kahuna. You're correct. The absence of Moshe's name. From the time that Moshe is born until the Elika Bas Paro, she was a heroine, she was someone else, another courageous woman who put her own safety aside to save somebody else. From the time that Moshe is born, in Parak Beis, beginning of Parak Beis, till the time he dies, in Vezos HaBracha, his name is mentioned, except for Parshas Tetzava. So there are many well-known reasons given. I saw a beautiful, beautiful answer, reason given by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. One of the famous reasons is, who remembers? The Baal Turim. What does Moshe say next? He's Parsha Kitisa, when Hashem wants to destroy the Jewish people after Chir Egal.
So was,
if you destroy them, erase me from your book. So Parshas Tetzav, a famous reason by the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. Tetzav is almost always read the week of Moshe Rabbeinu's Yartzai, Zayin Adar. So since Moshe was taken on Zayin Adar, says the Vilna Gaon, we omit his name, the Torah omits his name, from Parshas Tetzav, an allusion he was taken from us. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says something tremendous, which I never saw before this year. He says, it is inconceivable that Moshe's name would not be mentioned in the Parsha. In any parsha, from the time he's born. He says, we call the Torah Moshe's Torah. Moshe emes, visoraso emes. Moshe is absolute truth. His Torah is absolute truth. Moshe is intertwined embedded. Moshe and the Torah are one. How could it be that Moshe is not mentioned? Lubavitcher Rebbe says, and it fits so much with his worldview. When you read how, when you learn how the Lubavitcher Rebbe interprets Torah, you see how much it fits in with his worldview. He says, Moshe is mentioned, but not by name. He says, the name is not the highest calling of a person. The name is given to him by others. The name is what other people call him. The highest calling of a person is the Ve'ata, you. Who are you? Find your calling in your soul. Identify your kochos. Reach deep within yourself and find your capacity. Va'ata titzava, and you shall command, refers to a very high degree of Moshe Rabbeinu. A person's highest essence, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, is not his name, but it's the kochos within his soul. A name is given to you by somebody else, and it's called, and that's how you're called, by others. And I think that this reminds me very much of this right here. Mordechai demands she look deep into her soul. Move past your name, it fits beautifully. Past your hester, past your hiddenness, your timidity, your fear, your desire to save yourself and put all the other Jews at risk. Move past the hester and reveal your greatest kochos. Look deep into your soul and see what lies behind your hesitation. She must not try to deceive herself, Mordechai, or God. If she undertakes such an unflinching appraisal, she will see what lies behind all her excuses is apathy. But the excuses fall away. Mordechai rejects one by one her claims and her considerations. Esther must make her fateful choice. Do I care or don't I care? Will I go or won't I go? Will I be silent or won't I be silent? It is now, at this moment, he says, that there is a change in Esther. Because after this, she is not Miss Passive. What is she? Active. She becomes the most active personality in the Megillah. Before, everything is done to her. After, she affects everything that happens. It is now at this moment, in this passage, that the young, quote, passive, powerless Esther, young, passive, powerless, inexperienced, timid Esther, faces her moment of truth. And she prevails. She passes the test. It is now that she rises to her full stature and reveals herself. She goes from Hester, from hiddenness, to finding her Atah. Who are you? Her name was Esther. But she had something deep in her. She became a queen. At this moment, Esther realizes what is at stake is not just a private matter involving Mordechai. The whole dimension of the threat, the potential tragedy, includes herself. She can no longer remain a hidden, anonymous queen. She must identify herself openly, reveal herself, to contribute, to stand together with the nation. This new Esther understands fate and destiny are not private, are not personal. She is bound up with those of the nation as a whole. When the danger and the mission are public, what does she respond? Leich knows as kol ha-yehudim. All of a sudden, it's like a lioness emerges. She arises out of her shell and she becomes somebody else entirely. Esther Hamalka. And it's an important lesson for all of us. It has to be with Tanua. It has to be with Das Torah. It has to be with a lot of tefillah. But we have to ask ourselves, why am I in this world? What am I here for? Do I have a mission? What am I accomplishing? What am I doing? Am I just going through the days one after another, passing the time? Or am I accomplishing? Am I contributing? Am I doing? That's something we all have to ask ourselves, I think. Please take one and pass. Take and pass, please. Oh, I actually need one, please. Thanks. Okay, so this is very, very beautiful. Does anyone have questions or comments? So you'll see at the top, it's just handwritten. There's no difference. I gave you the source on top. It's only handwritten because it was on a previous page. So just for whatever, I didn't want to photocopy the whole page for three lines, two lines in the Medrash. Okay? Medrash Esther Rabbah Ches Zayim. Okay. So, like we saw, Avraham Lichtenstein just identifies the moment of her transformation. And Mordechai pushes her up against a wall, so to speak. And what is her reply after that? Vatomer shel ashiv al Mordechai. And now, all of a sudden, she takes action. No longer is Mordechai telling her what to do. No longer is Haggai giving her the cosmetics, the perfumes, and the spices. No longer is she being schlepped to the king. No longer someone putting a crown on her head. She is now in charge. I just thought of that last one. That's so cool. When Achashverosh crowns her, everything is done to her. Vatilakach Esther al Hamelech. Lo viksha davar ki mes asher yomar Haggai. Vayahav Hamelech es Esther. It's almost like she's an object. She has no personality. It's about him. And he makes a big party, Mishta Esther. She takes no initiative. In fact, the only thing she does is not reveal who she is. She holds back. Sometimes we're afraid to confront our lives also. Sometimes situations present themselves that are fearful. We would rather say, I don't want to deal with this. Thank you very much. Whether for ourselves or for the community. And finally, after Mordechai speaks to her, she becomes a whole different person. Go and gather all the Jews who can be found in Shushan and fast for me and don't eat and don't drink for 3 days, night and day. And me and my maidens will fast as well. And like this, I will come to the king. Even if it's against the law. And if I shall perish, then I shall perish. And Mordechai, Vayavar Mordechai, listen to this. Last pasuk of Perek Dalet. Vayas kechal asher tzivsa alav Esther. What's the difference? Who's giving the commands now?
Esther.
Who's listening to who? Mordechai said, so here you go as an answer. I can only give you the advice of what to do. But now that I have advised you, it's up to you to have the courage to do what is needed to be done. Look at this. Vayaver Mordechai vayas kechalish atzivsa alav Esther. Vayhi b'yam ha'shlishi vatilbash Esther malchus. She dresses herself. We don't see servants dressing her. We don't see people preparing her. We don't see her being schlepped. She is a new person, a new woman. It is only this woman who will become the heroine of Israel. We already mentioned Ba'ya. We already mentioned Shifra and Pua, Yochaved and Miriam. Look at Tamar. Tamar understood that her father-in-law, Yehuda, had to have relations with her, and she took action. She dresses herself as a zona, and she sits at the Pesach Einayim, every great woman. Just look at the Bechora. We're the only ones left in the whole world. We have an obligation to have relations with father. Her method was coarse, but her intentions were pure, says the Rav. Look at every great biblical woman. They have taken initiative. They have risen to the occasion. You must transform yourself from a timid, fearful person. What, is life always a walk in the park? Is life always perfect? What happens when we encounter difficulty? Esther begins her journey as a hidden woman, and she ends her journey as a courageous heroine. What a transformation. Tichtaveni ledoros. Write my story down. What about my story? Find your atah. Your name is a label that society gives you. I'm talking to myself. I am mamish talking to myself. Find your soul. Find your courage. Find your kohos. That's your highest calling, says the Bavitcher Rebbe. Of course Moshe is mentioned. But not by name. Yeah, was your hand up?
Yes, I was just thinking that it could be that Esther was not that timid, but that it was all very organized and all very intentional, because Vashti was killed because she was, you know, not listening to him. So there had to be this whole concept of maybe somebody who was not going to cross him, and Haman made that whole thing that everybody's going to start, all the women are going to be, you know, learning from that, and that's why she had to be killed. So it could be that Esther was very purposeful in the way that she acted in the beginning, and it was a certain time that she was ready to become maybe the person she always was, but Mordechai had to tell her, like, now, you know, be who you are. Like, I almost think that wasn't It was intentional. I feel like she...
Yes. So it's very interesting. I'll just tell you very quickly. I taught it in depth inside. But in Perak Alf, Pasuk Yud Alf, and Pasuk Yud Beis, listen. Achashverosh commands, Lohavias Vashti Hamalka Lefnei Hamelech Bekesar Malchus. Laharos Ha'amim Vasarim Es Yafia Kitovas Marahi. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vatima Ein Hamalka Vashti Lavo Bidvar Hamelech. Listen carefully again. Lahavi es vashti hamalka lefnei hamelech, vatimain hamalka vashti. What's the difference? Yeah. What switched?
The malka and the vashti.
The malka and the vashti. Very good. Achashverosh commands to bring vashti hamalka before the king in her royal crown. And the Malka Vashti refuses. When he calls her, he's calling Vashti Hamalka. When she refuses, she is Hamalka Vashti. So the Malbim says, I taught the Malbim inside, I'll go look up at home, it's amazing. He said, Achashverosh thought of himself as royalty. You are Vashti, you're only the Malka when you're Lifnei HaMelech. Furthermore, Bekesar Malchus, you're only allowed to don your crown when you're with me. Listen again. This is at the first party. Lahavias Vashti Hamalka Lifnei Mech Bekesar Malchus. She is only a Malka Lifnei Hamelech. Only then does she have permission to wear the Kesar Malchus. You are nothing. You're only Vashti. You're a commoner. You're only the Malka when you're with me. Vatima'ein Hamalka Vashti Lavo Bidvar Hamelech. Who refuses? What does she say about herself? You have it all wrong. You're the stable boy. I am the Malka first. I am Vashti. I'm not coming by the word of you, the king. Vayiktsof HaMelech Me'od. So you're 100% right. Vashti took a stance. Vashti stood up for who she was. Vashti said, you're a stable boy of my father. I am the queen. You think I'm Vashti Hamalka? You have it all wrong. I am Hamalka Vashti. You only have the crown because of me, and now vice versa. And that says the Malbim. Beautifully is why he killed her. He wanted someone who would be quiet. He wanted someone in the second queen who would not stand up to him. He wanted someone who would be passive and timid.
Because she got his, you know, loyalty and earned his trust to be that kind of...
So I understand what you're saying. But you do see a hesitation. And at that moment, Mordechai said, this is not a time anymore for hesitation. The people's lives are on the line. You're the only one who could save us. Let's look at this beautiful piece. Imagine anything else? Imagine yes? No? Is that maybe? Yes? No? I don't know.
I thought about it. It's not like percolating.
Say it again.
You think about the name being given. So I also thought her other name was Hadassah.
Correct.
So I still think, but it's still kind of percolating. I don't know, maybe you can like.
That what? I can't hear.
Like you know, the Hadassim, like you know, have like a fragrance but no taste. So. She was acting, she had, he was saying, she's acting, she had no personality. And that would be the taste. She wasn't showing a personality, she was just to look at, just to, whatever, until she...
Hadassim are the ones that have smell but no taste?
Yeah, right.
That's interesting. Okay, that's very nice. So you're saying who could further go along with the fact that she didn't take a stand?
Yeah.
Okay, it's very nice. Major Esther Rabba, Ches Zion. Vatomer Esther Lahashiv El Mordechai. So we finally see she rises to the occasion. Amralo, she says, Lech Knos, this is my own handwriting, ladies. Lech Knos, it's the Medrash, I just copied it from the previous page. Lech Knos is Kol HaYehudim Hanim Tzaim B'Shushan V'Tzumu Alai V'Al Tochu V'Al Tishtu Shloshas Yamim. Okay, go gather all the Jews who can be found in Shushan. Fast for me, don't eat and don't drink for 3 days. Elu Hain, what days were her fast? Some of you know? Well, it's on the paper in front of you. Yeah. But what were the days of her fast? Pesach. Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, V'Tes, Vav, B'Nisan. Shalacha, so Mordechai sends back a reply, and he says, Harei Bahem, Yom Rishon, Shal Pesach. Wait a minute, do you realize when you're telling us to fast, you're telling us to fast over Yom Tov. Amralo, so she says, Zakein Shebisrael. Zakein stands for Zesha Kana Chachma. The elder, the wise man of Israel, Lamahu Pesach. What does that mean? I left the Manas Kuhuna on the bottom for you. What do you mean, Lamahu Pesach? Look all the way in the bottom. Klomer, what was she saying?
She's
What for is Pesach? Lemin itstava rak li Yisrael. Who was commanded to keep Pesach if not Israel? Ve'imchas v'sham yitbatlu. And if God forbid, Israel will be mevatel. What's the correct, like, annihilated, obliterated, finished off. Pesach ma'te'elav. What's going to happen to Pesach? There's not going to be any Pesach. If Israel is finished off, there's no Pesach. Mutav sheyichalalu Pesach achad kidei lekayim Pesachim harbe. It is better that we should be mechalal, we should desecrate and profane one Pesach, so that we can keep many Pesachim in the future. So, and that is the Girsa and the Yalkut. So in other words, what does it mean, Lama Pesach? You're telling me it's Pesach, but I'm telling you that if we don't cease Pesach in order to fast, then we're all just going to be killed. Miyad Hashama Mordechai Vahoda Lidvaraha. Hadahu Dichtiv Vayavar Mordechai Vayas, that's the last Pesach of Perek Dalet, Vayas Guchal Asher Tzivsa Alav Esther. Tamanan Omrin, Sheheivir Yom Tov Shal Pesach B'Tainis. So they fasted. Va'al Oso Tzara Va'yispala Mordechai Al Hashem. And this piece of the Medrash here has Mordechai's tefillah and Esther's tefillah. And they're both so beautiful. And as we approach the day of Tainis Esther, we were supposed to be killed on Yud Gimel Adar. We fast on Yud Gimel Adar to commemorate that Haman wanted to kill us. He did not kill us. In fact, I just taught it last night. It's very beautiful. I think it was the Ibn Ezra. I don't have the Megillah with Malbim and the sources in front of me. But if they drew lots in Nisan, why did... It was the Ibn Ezra. He gives three reasons as to why they picked the following Adar. They drew their lots in Nisan, but they were going to kill the Jews in the following Adar. That's almost 1 year. What were they waiting a year for? Okay, let's say you need a couple months for the runners to get all to the provinces, but why 1 year? So the Ibn Ezra says three reasons. The third reason, he says, it was Hashkachas Hashem, that the Goral, the lottery, fell out on Adar, so that Hashem gave the Jews time to do teshuva. Mm-hmm. So Tainis Esther should be a day of teshuva and return to the Ribono Shel Olam for all of us, and we should keep these tefillos in mind. Here we go. Val Oso Tzara, so I'm in the first long line, the first broad line, fourth, fifth word. Val Oso Tzara Vayispala Mordechai El Hashem Vayomer Galue V'yadua Lefnei Chisei Chevodacha Adon Ha'olamim Kilo Migavhu Slave Umeirum Eina Eini Ayan Asisi Asher Lo Hishtecha V'yisi Lahaman. Mordechai Davins. The Gemara tells us, Ben Shimi Ben Ya'ir Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yamini Ya'ir She Heir Eine Yisrael B'Tfilaso Shimi She Shama Shem T'Filaso Kish Shehikish Al Sha'arei T'Fila. Each of his names represents a different aspect of his prayer. He lightened Israel's eyes with his prayer. His prayers were heard. He knocked on the gates of heaven with his prayer. And here you see his prayer. And he said, it is known and revealed before your heavenly throne, the master of the world, not from the haughtiness of my heart and the haughtiness of my eyes did I do what I did, which is not bowing down to Haman. Is that why? Because he's a Baal Gaiva, because he wants covet, because he can't give covet to someone else. Ki im yirascha. Because I fear you, God. Pa'alti zos. I did this. Levilti hishtachavus lo. That's why I didn't bow down, because of your shamayim. Not because of your saman, and not because of kavod Mordechai. But I am afraid of you. Ki yareisi mi panacha. Levilti teis kivodcha labasar v'dam. God, I have your shamayim. We talk so much in our class. We're in the middle of the chapters on yiras Hashem and ahavas Hashem. And Mordechai says, I have true yiras Hashem, because I see you in my life. I revere you live in my life, God. And I am not going to give kavod to a man of flesh and blood. I do not bow down to anybody except who? The Ribono Shel Olam. There's a beautiful word told of Rav Elimelech Biderman that by Hallel, we don't say Hallel on Purim. The Gemara says that the Megillah is our Shavach and Hodat Hashem. But one of the Hasidic rabbis, he quotes so many Hasidic rabbis, one of the Hasidic rabbis said that the most powerful words of Hallel are Ana Hashem. So the Hasidim had a whole debate of which Ana Hashem it is. So some said it's Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, and some said it's Ana Hashem Hatzilana. So at the end of the day, go back to the Rebbe, so they say, which one is it? This camp says, oh, very good. This camp says Ana Hashem Hatzilana. This camp says Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. The Rebbe says to him, it's none of those. It's
Ana Hashem
Kariyadah. Oh, I am your servant. please God, I am your servant. Ki mi ani asher lo ishtachav el haman al teshuas amcha Yisrael. Who am I? I have no covenant for myself. If it led to the teshua of your people Israel, I would surely bow down to Haman. But Haman didn't really care about Mordechai, whether he bowed down or he didn't bow down. Haman only cared about killing the Jews. Ki lo checha yisi mina al raglav. What does that mean? If it would save the Jews, I would lick the soles of his shoes. Va'ata elokeinu hatzileni. Hatzilenu nami yado. And now our God, save us from his hands. Vayipo b'shachas asher kara, vayilached b'rashos asher taman l'raglei chasidacha. He should fall into the pit that he dug, and he should be ensnared by the trap which he set for your pious ones. V'yeda hamargis hazeh, kilo shachachta ha'avtacha shivtachtanu. And let this wicked one know that you, God, did not forget the promise you promised us. This pasuk that Mordechai quotes is from where in Vayikra? I mean, it tells you where, but what's that parasha? What's the topic? What is the contextual setting in which that pasuk occurs? What did you say? Yes, in Bechukosai, in the Kvalos. And God says, after he lists all the kalos, nevertheless, says Mordechai, Hashem, didn't you write this pasuk? Didn't you say this pasuk? Didn't you promise us? Va'af gamzos biyosim be'eretz oyvehem, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim. Hashem says, even this, when in the land of their enemies, I have not rejected them. I have not spurned them, the chalosim, to finish their ma'af. Lahafer brisi itam, to annul my covenant with them, ki ani Hashem elokeim. So Mordechai said, where's your promise? You promised us, God. I didn't not bow down to Haman because of my kavod. I didn't bow down for your kavod, Hashem. Ma asa Mordechai. Look at this. Please look. It's so beautiful. Ma asa Mordechai. Ki beitz asatinokos ve'ina osa milechem umayim. He gathered all the young children. He afflicted them. They too fasted. They didn't eat bread. They didn't drink water. Ve'il bishon sak ve'oshivim be'efer. They sat down, the children, in sackcloth and ashes. Ve'hayut so akim. They were screaming, uvochin, and crying, va'oskin v'torah. What was Esther doing? She says, lechnos. Look at that. You know what the problem is? We are all too used to the story. You learned it a certain way in kindergarten, and perhaps that's still the way we envision the story of Megillas Esther. Put ourselves in such a matzav. It's not like it hasn't happened ever since. They didn't know the outcome. They didn't know they would be saved. Mordechai is crying. The children are crying. What is Esther doing? Coming up to tiny Esther. Uva'esahi haisa Esther nifchedes me'od. Esther was terrified. Mipnei hara asher tzamcha b'Yisrael, because of the wickedness that has sprouted in Israel. Does everyone know where I am so you can follow with me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm on the 7th line from the bottom. Please count up. I made the copies. I would like you to follow inside. The Lashon is extremely evocative and powerful. Okay? So at that time, Esther was terrified from the bad, from the evil that has sprouted in Israel. Vatifshot bigdei machusa v'estif arta v'tilbash sak. She too stripped herself of her royal garments and her glory, and she dressed in sackcloth. Vatifrasa arosha. She lets down her hair. Vatimaleosa ofer ve'efer. She fills it with sack, with dust and with ashes. I just have something interesting. What did I think of when I just read she fills it with Afar and Afar? Who did I think of? Hinena ho alti ledaber, vanochi Afar ve'efer, mi amar labi. Sometimes I say that to my kids. I call pasuk, I say mi amar labi, mami. Who said that?
Avram.
Avram, to who?
I think he was in a tefillah to Hashem, but I'm not sure.
To Hashem, when he's davening for the people of Sodom. He says, I've just begun to speak. I'm dust and ashes. So this is extremely interesting that the Medrash here says, Esther, there's a reference to the dust and ashes because Targum on the Megillah, Targum Sheni on the Megillah, to Parakei Pasuk Aleph, gives a whole lengthy tefillah of what Esther said. And the Targum writes that she spoke about the Zchus Avos. Perhaps that's another illusion here. She fills herself with Afar and Efer, perhaps not only physically, but metaphorically, she recalls the selflessness, the dedication. What is the point of everything Avram Avinu did, Hashem, if you kill us now? She fills her head with Afar and Efer, Kaviyach, as if she's saying, God, if you kill us, what is the point of the covenant that you established with Avram Avinu? And she fasts. It's impossible, not difficult. It's impossible to imagine the terror she faced. Hashem, this is full of shemos, so if you're not keeping it, please make sure to get it back to me. Atis palal vatomer, and she davened and she said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Hashem the God of Israel, Hashem mashalta mi yimei kedem uverasas olam. You have been ruling from before time, from before forever, and you have created this whole world. Azorna, amascha, asher nisharti yisoma b'li aveim. Are you not the one, Hashem, who cares for the yisomim and the almanos? Are you not the one who takes up the cause of the downtrodden? Help your maidservant. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. What's the most important part of Hala? Ana Hashem hatzilana. Ana Hashem hatzilana. Ana Hashem hatzlichana. No, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. Please, God, I am your servant. Save me. I am a yisoma. I do not have a father. I do not have a mother. Umeshula la'aniya sho'alas mi bais la'bais. I am compared to, there's a mashal, a parable, to a pauper, to a poor woman. I'm going from house to house, knocking on doors. Is there anyone who can save me? Kein anochi sho'alas rachamecha. God, I am asking for your mercy. Mechalon lechalon. Beveis achashuras. You imagine this big, beautiful palace. Maybe they had stained glass windows. And she's going from window to window. And she is pleading and begging. Va'ata Hashem hatzlichana. Aha, there are those words. And please, God, let me be successful. La'amascha ha'aniya hazos. Please make your maidservant, this poor one, successful. V'hatzila as tzon marisecha. Won't you save the flock of your pasture? Min ha'oivim ha'elu asher kamu alinu. On these wicked enemies. If anybody wants to take this home, by the way, so that you could learn this passage or say this passage on Tiny Esther, you could bring it back next week and I will put it in Shemos for you. Very powerful tefillah. V'hatzila son marisecha min ha'oivim ha'elu asher kamim aleinu. Do we not need this today? Do we not say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we are like paupers knocking from door to door in the palace of the wicked king. Please save us. God, there's nothing from stopping you. You created this whole world. There's nothing from stopping you, from saving us, whether on a grand scale or a small scale, whether with big miracles or small miracles. Look what she calls him. Shashem, you are the father of the orphans. Amodna liyamin hayasoma hazos. Stand by my right side. We do not, Baruch Hashem, live in a generation where we can fully appreciate the depth of this plea. My grandparents lived in a generation, Rahman al-Atslan, where they could fully appreciate the depth of this plea. But you are the father of orphans. It doesn't do justice when I translate. It should really be read in Lashon HaKodesh without any translation. Amona liyamin hayisoma hazos asher bechasta chavatcha. Please stand by the right side of this orphan who trusts in you. Usna osi l'rachamim lefnei ha'isha zeh ki erasiv. She says it like it is. She's a normal human being. She is a person. I am afraid. And therefore, please give me mercy before this man. V'hashpilehu lefanai ki ata mashpil hagem. Lower him down before me, God, because you are the one who lowers down the proud. Of course, her tefillos were answered, and Mordechai's tefillos were answered. And there was a day that was changed from them. Eivel lo yom tov. It was a day of mourning that became a yom tov. Just like the tefillos were answered then, halavai we should be zochar, tefillos shall be answered today. Le tov, I wish everybody a very freilich and purim. Amen.